So it's kind of like a commitment and a promise that I've made to the people. And the reason I feel and it, I know it makes sense is because we're all doing this together, right? We depend, and all the things that we have won lately have been because of the amazing team that I have. And so I'm very humbled and happy and excited that they are letting me still work with them, because everyone's amazing. So I feel like that's the right thing to do. And if you think about it, the more they feel that this is their company, the better decisions they'll make and the more motivated they'll be to make this kind of dream a reality.
Hello, my name is Soyini Koch, and I want us to take a journey together. There's a movement in business. Some call it stakeholder capitalism. Others call it purpose-led business. Others profits through purpose, going beyond profits, or we like to call it conscious capitalism. Regardless of the brand name you like to call it, there are business leaders around the world coming together and doing their very best to use the power that they have to do good and not to do evil. So I want you to join me in learning how to do this conscious capitalism thing better and better, one conversation at a time. Welcome to Capitalism Done Right, brought to you by CEO Exclusive and Conscious Capitalism Atlanta. In this episode, I'm with the managing director of a logistics company that's on the Inc. 5000 for the first time this year. They've doubled in size, which is an enviable accomplishment for any company. And while some might dismiss this as a windfall from all the supply chain issues of the pandemic, they've also outperformed the industry. And I think they're a perfect case study for how to get conscious business practices to work. You've heard in previous episodes that the payoff from stakeholder capitalism isn't automatic. It actually takes some know-how. And if you listen to this interview, it's clear that Enrique and his team know how. Hi, everyone. I am really delighted to be here at Vector Global Logistics with their managing director, Enrique Alvarez. Enrique, it's so great. Thank you so much for having us here. It's like, we've gotten great feedback that people want to see us in person. So thank you for bringing us to your office today.
No, you're very welcome. And yeah, we actually love having people back and interacting in person. I know we all done this before over Zoom, but no, this is, you can't beat this, right?
Exactly, like, you know, having to actually make ourselves presentable and be with other people, which I heard that you did at the CEO Summit.
It was an amazing event. It was so much fun. It was great. It was inspiring as always. I had a blast, yes.
Yeah. And that's Conscious Capitalism CEO Summit, by the way, for our viewers. So
I definitely encourage everyone that's listening to this to try it at least once. It's a really good summit.
Yeah. Just for our audience, tell us a little bit about Vector and like how you think of it in the context of conscious capitalism. Why would you consider it to be a conscious business, or why are you trying to lead the business in this way?
No. So Vector is an international logistics company with a very, very unique culture. So we have taken, it's based on a culture called results-only work environment, and it's based on a book called that's titled Why Work Sucks, that I also recommend reading. But what it really means is you're taking the time and space component out of the equation, and you're measuring performance by results and results only. So in my company and my team has an unlimited time off. We don't really expect someone to come here at a certain time. We don't expect someone to leave at a certain time. We don't really measure any of that. As long as things are happening and as long as the results are there, that's really all we focus on, and that's all we care about.
It sounds to me like that takes an amazing amount of trust. So you must really trust the people who work for you.
It does take a lot of trust. At the same time, it not only puts the pressure more on the people that are managing the teams, because you have to be very specific about what goals do you have for next month, what are the expectations, what agreements can you come up with, and also once you have all that set in place, and given the fact that we've been measuring this for a very long time since we started the company, then it becomes actually more easier to manage, because it's very easy to know whether someone's doing what they're supposed to be doing or not doing what they're supposed to be doing. So having this results-based mentality prevents people from hiding and just being here without really producing or adding value to the team and company. So it becomes easier towards the end once you actually implement it.
And Enrique, how does that look like from the employee standpoint? Like, what are they telling you about how that makes them feel and
Well,
and why does it make
I work? I feel it too, right? So it's not something that we're trying to push down. We're on this together, and we've been together since the beginning. The way I see it, and I have tons of really good examples. For example, Bill, who used to be an operations associate here with us, he loves soccer, so he wanted to go to Brazil during the Brazil World Cup, and he was there for almost 2 months enjoying the World Cup, and it was amazing because some of the clients didn't even believe me that he was there. I had to send them like a picture. Well, here's Bill partying in Recife, right, after this game or that game. So I think this unique cultural reflects into giving employees and people that work with us their time back. Mm. And so it goes from like maybe that example to tons of other examples of people that are just as silly as it may sound, just doing your grocery shoppings at 11 in the morning. And this is something down someone in Mexico that she kept doing her shopping around 6-7, right? Because that's the way she had always done it when she was working with another company. So I pushed her to just try it and go at a different time, because 6 or 7 is where everyone else is there. And she had the kids with her and all that. And again, very silly example, but she loved it. So it just, the way it reflects is having a very empowered, very dynamic, self-driven, proactive people that really understand that this is just a job. We're not pretending that this is more, and that's why we also don't believe in work-life balance.
Hmm. We'll come back to that in a moment. I think that's very, 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 very interesting. The thing that I want to turn to now, which I think is really, you know, of interest to me and to our viewers, is you've been on the Inc. 5000. This is your first year,
First year. We made it. We're very happy and proud about it.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you.
And you've, like, doubled in size. How would you say that leading from a people first, work doesn't suck mindset has led to such great outcomes?
I think that's the key to the success that we're having. It's really all about people. It's all about the team that we have. And so putting all our energy and effort into the results-based mentality, the passion to give back, and the unique organizational structure that we have has been the key to success. So, being a purpose-driven organization, I got to say, has not only given us that edge and has allowed us to continue to be successful and grow fast, but also it's been easier and more fun to actually grow a company when you know that everyone shares the why.
Yeah.
Why we do things
and when
the
work
culture.
Doesn't suck.
Huh?
And when work doesn't
and
suck.
Why, yes, exactly.
Yeah. So if I'm talking to a skeptic,
yes.
Who's like, I don't believe it. You know, he just got lucky because of the pandemic, right?
Right. Right.
Where specifically in your financials would you say that this has shown up?
This has shown up everywhere. I think at the end of the day, we're profitable and we're growing our profits. The one thing as a results-based company that we mostly focus on is on profits, and we've been maximizing our profits. So I think that would be the line where you see everything played out. So we've been more profitable and have been growing faster because of this. Now, the reason for this is different things. But the first thing is we have access to a better pool of people. Mm. So if we have a results purpose-driven organization like the one we have, talented people want to come and work with us. So we've been able to attract and welcome people to our company that probably other companies cannot attract. So that's been great and has helped us fuel our growth. The other thing is we have access to better suppliers, because at the end of the day, other companies want to work with companies that are mindful, that are passionate about what they're doing, and that they're sustainable. So we've been able to work with better suppliers, and in logistics, when you're shipping products around the world, it's very important to have trustworthy and reliable partners and agents around the world. So that has been also another key factor of how the culture reflects into very practical and realistic outcomes or goals. And then the third thing is just customers. A lot of companies right now are actually starting to slowly, some of them slowly, some of them have been doing it for a while, shift into this purpose-driven or conscious capitalist mentality.
Mm-hmm.
And so being one of them, being one of them helps because they understand why you're doing what you're doing. And that, of course, makes us become more than just a client-supplier type of relationship. I think they really believe in what we're doing, and we share something that's more powerful than just making money.
Mm. And for those who are, you know, just interested in making money, because there are those who who will only shift to something if they can justify it economically. How would you say that that is informing the ecosystem? Because you have those folks who you say might be trying to create an ecosystem around this new way of doing capitalism, and those who may not be, will not come along until maybe a little bit later. How have you seen adoption, and like, is that, like, what percent of the market, if you were going to guess?
Well, in terms of percentages, well, I'll say a couple of things if you allow me.
Sure.
I'll take one quick step back.
We're here to listen to you, not to me.
No, this is, so if I take a step back on this, right, the question that you said. So what happens to the people that are really here to make money?
Right.
I would say that's just a terrible thing to do. And I think those people and those businesses are going to eventually go under. Because I think, and I'm confident that if you, someone or an organization as a whole, makes the right decisions for the right reasons, the money will come. If you're focusing on making money, you will never really make that much money if you actually focus on something else that's probably more important or more valuable, and then money will come. So kind of answering the first part of your question, I think that people that are only here for the money should probably go back and take a better look at what they're doing, why they're doing what they're doing. Make sure they understand what drives them, what are they passionate about, what are their teams passionate about. Get to know their teams, get to know their organization, get to know their products if they sell a product or a service, and then kind of come up with a better reason for getting out of bed every morning. That would be the first thing. Now, in terms of percentage guess of people that are driven by that, I think it's a lot still. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's a good question.
I
would say 80-70% still of the corporations around the world, especially when you open it up to not only the U.S. or or the Western quote-unquote world. If you just really look at the world in its entirety, it's still a new movement, I guess.
Yeah, it is. It is. So you talked a little bit about work-life balance. Why don't you believe in work-life balance? Let's go back to that.
Well, at the end of the day, those two things, life encompasses everything.
Right,
and
okay.
So trying to put life and work at the same level and trying to balancing out, I don't think it works, because they're just not, one is not as important as the other. Life is what we're all here for, and that's why we wake up every morning, and it would be a shame and it would be somewhat sad to have to give up some things just because of you're trying to balance those things out perfectly. And I believe that there's no perfect balance, right? So having a results-based mentality and a passion to give back allows everyone that works here with us to do what they think is more important first, right? I mean, trick-or-treating with your kids yesterday, that's important. Why would you trade that for anything else? So I think that people that understand that it's not like a trade-off, it's not that you have to do this and then you will not be able to do all this. People that really understand that you can do both. I mean, just go, and I put my personal example for this. I love to take my kids to either volleyball or soccer practice, and sometimes it's Tuesdays at 3 p.m., and I'm there with them without having any regrets. I do know that I'm going to have to come back at night and probably work until midnight. But but at the end of the day, I think just letting people decide what they want, I think it's what has been successful for us. And it's something that I can say that it's actually make this company unique and the culture that we have very unique.
Mm. Yeah, I want to go back to something that you said that I find really intriguing about being results, you know, results focused. That must require that you have very good metrics.
Yes.
You have very, very good metrics, and you know exactly what is driving growth and what's tied to the profit, like you know, all the way down to you know, specific, you know, day-to-day human activity that then will build up to actual profit. How did you go about understanding what those metrics were and how to have that build up to, you know, from individual human activity to specific profit?
That's a very good question, by the way. It looks like you haven't done this for many times before. You're absolutely so. That is tough, right? So there's different areas in everyone's companies. Mm-hmm. In mine, broadly speaking, there's three, right? The sales side of things, the operations that really takes care of making sure the shipments get to where they need to get in an efficient and effective manner. And then the administration or back office mm-hmm. side of mm-hmm. things. And so two things on your question. One, we do have good metrics, but two, you don't want to have too many metrics. So we're always erring on the side of, you know what, if it's not important, then if we're not sure whether it drives profitability or not, then we'd rather not consider it and just keep a few metrics. So we have, I think, about six metrics for operations. When it comes to sales, for example, on our sales team, the only metric we really care about is profitability. How much are you bringing to the company? We don't care about revenues. We don't care about how many visits you make or how many lunches you have or how many phone calls you make. Are those things important and somewhat conducive to actually reaching profitability? Yes. But do we care about them? No. If someone takes 10 minutes to close an account or 5 hours, I don't care. I mean, take 10 minutes, close the account, and then go play golf the rest of the day. So for us, it's very straightforward when it comes to certain things like that. And again, as long as everyone is following up our culture and processes and everyone guarantees the same levels of service, then we're good.
How long did it take for you to kind of come up with that dashboard of metrics that you know?
The dashboard of metrics and just the culture in general, it's just not something that you just design and then implement and then run. It's just something that's just every day, right? Mm-hmm. So we're constantly talking about this. For us, culture is very lively. For us, we talk about it every day. We talk about our culture. We talk about the metrics. We have arguments. We sometimes take tons of time to just make sure that everyone can freely talk about this. So I don't think there's ever going to be a time where this is going to be done. Mm. So I guess, I don't know if I answer your question or I give you a pretty long answer to the question, but I think that there's not like a certain amount of time that we have put into it. It's just an ongoing effort every day. So it's just one of those things that you just have to do every day and question it every day. And the more we hire, and the we're hiring around the world. We have now a team we have a presence in Mexico, Chile, in China, Malaysia, Vietnam. Mm. So the more diverse our team becomes, which we love, then the more you have to question certain metrics, because maybe certain regions have slightly different metrics that drive results. And so we're constantly talking about these things.
Wow, Enrique. So how do you actually bring those metrics to life? Like, how do they show up in the operations of the business?
Well, we're currently working on what we call the performance portal. Mm-hmm. It's basically, the answer is technology. Technology has allowed us to do this in a more efficient way, because now you can track this performance indicators on a monthly basis, weekly basis, and even a daily basis, which we don't really do too much.
And who has access to the portal?
Everyone has access to the portal.
And every employee?
Every employee. And I guess that's part of what makes this work. So the technology and the portal itself is very efficient and helps us do what we do and I guess promote our culture and our mentality, a results-based mentality. However, the one thing that really allows everything to gel and come together is the transparency. We have 100% transparency in our company. Everyone knows exactly how much Vector makes, how much profits we make, how much money we have in the bank accounts,
really?
How much we collect. Everyone. Yes, we openly share the information. So
what about like salaries and compensation?
Compensation, salaries, bonuses, all that is also openly shared with employees. So at any given time, employees can see exactly where they fall compared or relatively speaking to not only their other teams, but then also to other employees, not only in the U.S., but around the world. So, and this is one of the scariest things about this culture, I think, like this incredibly candid approach.
That's really
information.
Candid. Yeah.
But,
that's like really
but
candid.
But it's liberating.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that once you start doing it, and it gets a little bit tricky at the beginning, but once you start doing it and you can justify all the decisions that you're making along the way, then it becomes a very liberating and amazing thing, because I think it creates a lot of trust.
Mm-hmm.
People, if you're open in what you have, what you do, how you're doing it, what the profits are, people basically care more and are more aware and can make better decisions.
Yeah, and one of the things I really love about this, and this is exactly the kind of thing that I think is most helpful to other operators who are listening and watching, is people put out these buzzwords. you know, or put out these value statements of we're a transparent organization, right. And then they're, you know, hiding stuff and, you know, doing things behind back closed doors and all this kind of stuff. But this is really you demonstrating and showing in real terms, like when you say transparency, we really do mean transparency. And this is what transparency looks like. Everybody knows everything about the business and pretty much everything about the business as it relates to individual right. people. So I think that's exceptional. It's very impressive.
Thank you. And I think it works, right? At the mm-hmm. end of the day, it's something that it's not new to us. We've been doing it we've been around for 13 years. So it's something that I can very confidently say it's working. And it works, and so we'll continue doing it. So,
but didn't at some point there might be some tough conversations about, like, you know, why does she get this and
right?
why does she
get
that?
Because you get all this different, which is normal. It's human nature, right? So why do I get a better bonus than you did? I feel like actually we did the same thing, or I feel like I worked harder than you. And so if you have the metrics to back that up, there's two potential outcomes. One, then the person that's somewhat complaining about the bonus understands why it is, and then we resolve it in a very, I guess, mature and professional way and say, hey, this is what it is. Here's the results. Here it is, the other. Yeah. That's why here are the areas of opportunity that yeah. you can work on so that the next 6 months when you get your bonus, you can get a better bonus. Or we made a mistake, which is also a possibility, right? So maybe some of these people that come to us with certain claims are right. And we say, well, you know what? You're right. You should have gotten a better bonus. And then we go back and just give them whatever money we didn't give them at that time. We've done that not too many times, really, but we have done it two or three times. And when the organization says and sees these things, they even become even more more trustworthy to them, because all of a sudden you are acknowledging that we're all making mistakes, and we have done tons of mistakes and we'll continue to make mistakes. And we become a better team at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. And to me, it also allows for correction of some other things like pay equity issues, correct. You know, which are, you know, what is it? The average woman gets paid 60 cents on the dollar of the average guy for doing the same job, things like that. It allows for resolution of that and transparency again around that.
Yeah.
So yes, I think that's really, really amazing. Thanks for
equality. That's a completely new yeah. interview, but no, I'm
yeah. Right. We could talk about that for
yes.
forever. But this is conscious capitalism, right? You're bringing the consciousness to how you, you know, do business and how you pay people. And I think it's great.
I think so. And as long as you know why you're doing things, you're honest about it, and you're transparent, and then you have amazing people, which is, I think, the key for all of this to work, then that's the key.
Mm-hmm. And so as you think about what's next, I mean, that's huge expansion, right? Tremendous growth. Very exciting, as you
thank
said,
you.
Right? Your
thank
culture
you.
Is a living, breathing thing. What do you think is next? What do you, both in terms of as you kind of grow along conscious business lines and you think about your own development as a leader, what are you looking forward to?
Well, I really look forward to a couple of things, but one that really excites me is that we already have a plan in place that we're probably going to start implementing over the next 3 years to give some equity back to the people that are running those smaller teams that we call sales.
Sales?
It's a terrible name. I mean, at the end of the day, we should have come up with a better name. But anyways, they're independent teams running by themselves. And as long as they, again, they use the same systems, and as long as they have the same culture and the same values, they can really manage their teams in any way they want.
Wow.
They have their own P&Ls. And so one thing that excites me is to actually take this, what we're doing, and take it to the next level, and then slowly shift vectors, goal and strategy into, from a logistics company into just making entrepreneurs and making business owners. I mean, that would be something at a very personal level, very gratifying and exciting. So that's for me what's next, kind of working towards that kind of end goal.
You know, I think that this is something that I have a hypothesis that I think is actually really important as an underlying foundation for conscious capitalism, is you're giving some of the profits back. And, you know, some companies don't do that. So I wonder, like, what in your mind was the impetus? Like, why do you think that that's necessary? Why do you think that it matters? Why would you have the desire to do something
yeah.
like that?
I've always felt part of the team, right? I've never felt like someone that was leading anything. I'm just kind of the crazy lone nut that has some followers and validate what I'm saying. So at the end of the day, for me, it's I'm part of the team, and I've always told people, every person that we hire, I personally talk to them at least for a few minutes, and I repeat the same thing. It's like, hey, Vector is successful, we'll all be successful. So it's kind of like a commitment and a promise that I've made to the people. And the reason I feel and it, I know it makes sense is because we're all doing this together, right? We depend, and all the things that we have won lately have been because of the amazing team that I have. And so I'm very humbled and happy and excited that they are letting me still work with them, because everyone's amazing. So I feel that that's the right thing to do. And if you think about it, the more they feel that this is their company, the better decisions they'll make, and the more motivated they'll be to make this kind of dream a reality. So feels the right thing to do.
Yeah, absolutely. So Enrique, what is one big takeaway that you would want to share with the next generation of conscious leaders who are with us today?
Yeah, and I would say, first and foremost, understand why, right? That would be the main thing, not only as a company, but as an individual. I mean, why? Why are you here? What are you passionate about? What do you want to change? What's your purpose? And I know it's an incredibly tough question, one that I probably haven't really answered for me as an individual, but as an organization, I think knowing why you do things makes a big difference. So one thing that I would tell people is just make sure that you understand kind of where you want to go in life.
Good. Well, thank you so much, Enrique, for having us at your office. And for those of you who've been joining us, we're with Vector Global Logistics, their managing director, Enrique Alvarez. And you've been watching and listening to Capitalism Done Right, brought to you by CEO Exclusive and the Conscious Capitalism chapter of Atlanta. Thanks.
Hey, y'all. Thanks for listening. I know you have a lot on your plate, so let's get down to what we heard in this interview that I think will make the investment of your time actually worthwhile. So this interview was kind of light and fluffy, and Enrique was talking about how he gives people their time back, and wow, isn't that sweet? You know, people get to go home and spend time with their kids. That's always wonderful. And it was light and fluffy until we started talking about metrics. The reason why Enrique and his team can successfully give up tracking employees' work time is because they have a clear understanding of what drives their business, and they can measure it. So time is often used as a proxy for productivity, but when you can more directly measure productivity, you can drive financials without having to look over your employees' shoulders. Metrics are really, really important. Not only do they allow for the efficiency of performance that Enrique describes in his business, but they also support a culture of objectivity, fairness, and transparency, and most importantly, trust, which also comes up in the interview. Hopefully you heard that. If I know that I'm being evaluated on an objective set of measures, then I can trust that you're doing right by me. And I can then also take responsibility for my performance in a dispassionate, objective way. So if you want some help trying to figure out how and what to measure as key indicators of your business performance that then allow you to drive a culture of trust, there are a bunch of other CEOs, business owners, business leaders working on the same thing. So I want you to take a look at the Conscious Capitalism website, subscribe to our newsletter, and come join us, hopefully at an in-person event. Because I want every one of you CEOs, business leaders, running your business this way. So please rate and review this episode on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening. Send it to a friend or colleague. Reach out to me on LinkedIn. I'm always interested in your feedback. And this wraps up our time together on Capitalism Done Right, brought to you by CEO Exclusive and Conscious Capitalism Atlanta. Until next time, please go out and do something really great and amazing in the world with your business.